Hello, everybody. I'm Danny Finkelman, and this is The Danny Finkelman Show. For the next hour or so, more of that wonderful music from the 50s, 60s, and early 70s, especially for you. And on the hand-printed playlist here, we've got The Four Aces, Lloyd Price, Dusty Springfield, Thurston Harris, Maurice Williams, and the Zodiacs. They'll all be here, but to kick things off, here's number 42 from March of 1966, The Hollies, and I Can't Let Go.
Oh, I try, but I can't say goodbye. Feel so bad, baby.
The Hollies and I Can't Let Go from 1966. You know, I was on the subway the other day, and, you know, there's advertising on the subway, just as there is on, you know, buses up there above the windows. And I was surprised I saw two ads from the same kind of outfits. And what they were advertising was registered massage therapy. They would teach you. It's registered massage therapy school. One of them offered either a diploma or advanced. This is for massage therapy, folks. Registered. These days, everybody has to be registered, certified, or licensed. And you figure when you read this that, oh, well, you know, this is a government registration or licensing or certification. It has nothing to do with that. These are all self-regulatory organizations. So all the massage therapists get together and they set their own standards for massage therapy tests, I suppose, or spend X number of hours doing it or whatever. And then you become registered. And this is all about legitimizing these particular occupations. And it's quite silly when you really think about it. I mean, why does a massage, how many classes, and they offered full term and half term courses. How long does it take anybody to learn how to do massage therapy, to rub your hands over somebody else? Anyway, I'm not questioning it, but it's all about legitimizing this. And just this morning, I heard on the radio an ad for a licensed travel agent. No, registered. a registered travel. What do you have to do to become registered? You know, do you have to visit all the places you recommend? Do you have to study them, know what the population of Barcelona is? I don't know. So there are all these, you know, licensed and registered hairstylists, certified hair colorist. Soon, and what about certified radio hosts or internet radio hosts? What about certifying them that I have to take a course? Well, there are these broadcasting schools where you go to and you take a course in radio broadcasting. I avoided them, and of course you can tell. But what about the registered dog walker? That's coming. What does it take? A leash and the ability to walk. And you're a certified dog walker. Anyway, it's what the world has become, folks. Now here, Al Alberts and the Four Aces from the mid-50s. This wasn't charted, but it's one of my favorite Four Aces tune. Here is A Garden in the Rain.
Touch of color neath skies of gray. The raindrops kiss the flower beds. The blossoms raise their thirsty heads. A perfume, thank you, they seem to say. Beyond compare to you, maybe it was just that I was there with you. It was just a garden in the rain, but then the sun came out again and sent us happily on our way. Boo-ah, boo-ah, surely I was there with you. It was just a garden in the rain, but then the sun came out again and set us happily.
Al Alberts and the Four Aces and Garden in the Rain. Remember the old phone, folks? The old heavy Bell black phone with a rotary dial and a heavy long cord to the wall that couldn't be moved. In our home, where I lived for 27 years, there were three of those phones. In my parents' bedroom, no, in the hallway on the second floor, in the kitchen, and one in the basement. That was it. Now today, everybody's got like 47 phones around the house. And you don't just buy your base phone. You always buy the three accompanying phones. So you've got all these phones ringing and there are two phone lines. How many times has it happened to you? This happens to me. I'm watching television with my wife last night. We're watching a drama. And of course, I pipe up and say, is that phone the TV is or that one of our phones? Because nothing has a distinctive ring anymore. Nothing. You know, you have all these phones and they're all, you've got ones that are Panasonic and then you got ones that are, what else? VTech, and they're all these different brands. You don't rent the phone from the phone company anymore with that standard ring. There was one ring, every phone rang the same. So you don't know, because you're not, when two phones ring, either my wife's phone or my phone, we have two phones, I can't tell, is that yours or, whose is it? And then television, too. Is that our phone or is that the TV? I don't know. Let's wait a few seconds. It was much simpler back then. All right, here are Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. This tune is a classic, and it only reached number 19 in August of 1967. But we're all familiar with it, even though it didn't, reach the top of the charts. Here, Marvin and Tammy, Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell, and Ain't No Mountain High Enough. I've got some advice. If you have any weddings coming up and you have to buy a gift, the best gift to give anybody for a wedding is a practical kitchen gift. Now, I don't mean practical, get them a juicer or get them a Cuisinart or anything like that, because I'm talking about things like, because I always think of the people who gave me the gift whenever I use it. The glasses, those very nice crystal glasses, came from the Schreibers. That platter that has a silver platter, but it has a kind of a wooden insert so you can cut beef on it, from the Friedmans. We use that all the time. And, one of those... I don't know what you call them, like cauldrons, but they're nice. They're designed, or they're not just that are you can put on the stove, in the oven, and then bring right to the table. From Sid, my pal Sid the Kid. So every time we use that, we remember that it was Sid that we got this from. So it has a lasting impression. Things like that. Those things, not the necessarily the electronic gadgets in the kitchen, because those you end up putting down in a cupboard way at the back and pulling them out only on occasion, maybe other than the Cuisinart. But most of those other things like bread makers and ice cream makers and stuff like that, come on. Anyway, a practical gift that you've used or something similar to that that you know will be used time and again is the kind of wedding gift to give. That's Dan being Martha Stewart. Now, here's Lloyd Price in number two from April of 1959, Personality.
My love to you over and over. What more can I do? Over and over. My friend says I'm a fool, but over, over and over, I'll be a fool for you. 'Cause you've got
personality,
walk
with personality,
talk
with personality,
Lloyd Price and Personality. So in the Wall Street Journal, just the other day, a piece about how the differential between the rich and the poor is becoming wider and wider in society. I feel it. In the 40 years I've been in Toronto, it's been massive, and it's been massive in the States and, you know, all of Canada as well. And they said that they did done a study that the top 1% in the States, and I'm sure it's similar in Canada, make 19.8% of the money. The top 1% make 19. The bottom 90% make 10% of the money. So that 9% in the middle is where kind of the most middle class people live. And it's getting worse. This is in the States, which I think is worse than Canada. But still, it's bad. And they say that 1% that earns 19% of the money, it's never been that great a percentage except for the 1920s, just before the stock market crash. That was it. And they say it's bad for the economy because that means that most of the people don't have enough money to spend, so there's not that much commerce and there's not that much job creation. So it's better to have it spread out more evenly. The differential should not be as great, and it's good for everybody. So, and that's my... In the last 8.5 years that I haven't been doing the show, that's been one of my big rants, is that the differential keeps getting greater and greater and greater, and I don't know where this is going to lead. But I know where I'm going to lead right now, to Dusty Springfield and number 41 from February of 1964, All Cried Out. Dusty Springfield and All Cried Out. Now, here's Thurston Harris, number 6, from October of 1957, Little Bitty Pretty One.
Oh,
Thurston Harris and Little Bitty Pretty One. You know, I mentioned on an earlier show that I bought a new car three years ago, and I actually bought a new car for my wife. That she had a 10-year-old car that she loved, but it was starting to rust, and that's my rule. Once it starts to rust, it's time to go. So we were buying a new car, and I have a rule for buying a new car. And it's simple. I go into a dealership and I say, I'm going to two or three dealerships, and I here's the car that I want to trade in. Here's the car I want to buy. I know exactly the car I want to buy. What's the size of the check that I'm going to have to write? Okay, that's what you want. You tell them up front. Well, it worked in two dealers, but the third dealer, they go through all this rigmarole of writing out, you know, the putting stuff on paper and saying how much they make. They show you how much they make, what the dealer cost is and this cost. And that. Instead of being tough in my dotage, I just kind of went along with it and listened to him. And then I said, look, I told you, I just want to know what your best possible price. So he says, what do you want to pay for the car? This is another ploy. This is what they do. They say, what do you want to play? You know what I wanted to say? There's a movie called The Tin Man with Richard Dreyfuss. And they asked him, what do you want to pay for a car? $2. That's what I should have said. My friend, my pal Al, told me after I told him this little story about going in there. And in the end, we ended up buying the car from this particular dealer, but it was horrible. Why can't they just make it simple? They say it's simple. And this was a one of these, you know, foreign car makers who have the reputation of you don't have to go through all the stuff that you had to go through with General Motors and Ford in the 60s and 70s. Should be simple now. The minute any car salesman or sales manager says, what do you want to pay for the car? $2. That should shut them up. All right, now here is Charlie Rich in number 21 from August of 1965, Mohair Sam.
Who is the hippie that's happening all over our town? Tearing up the chicks with the message that he lays down.
Charlie Rich and Mohair Sam. One last thing about buying a new car. They try to sell you, you know, the finance manager. You got to see the finance manager because he tries to sell you the rust proofing, the undercoating, the extended warranty. They try to sell you all these things. And I just say, no, 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 no. And same thing when you go in to buy something in an electronics store. Whatever you try to buy there, you try. I actually bought a radio. A Sony, like, what do they call it? A Dream Machine, $29. And they tried to sell me an extended warranty on it for $5 or something. I said, nothing ever goes wrong. You always throw these things out. It's just like buying an extended warranty on a computer. How many, I know in Toronto, you see these old, old computers sitting out in the garbage. In the garbage, once they've kind of outlived their usefulness. And but I won't get into that with this little bit here, but the extended warranty on any of that stuff, just remember it's insurance, folks. They make money on it, so it's a bad bet. They make more money than you save money for whatever it is that they have to do to fix it or to replace it. So extended warranties on all of that stuff is, as a gambling man, it's all a bad bet. All right, now here's Jackie Wilson in number 62 from November of 57, Riet Petit.
Well, look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that, ooh, wee. Look at that, look at that, look at that, ooh. She's so fine, fine, fine. She's so fine, fine. She's so fine, and she's so fine, fine, fine. She's really sweet, the finest girl you ever want to meet. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. The finest girl you ever want to meet. Well, have you ever seen a girl for whom it's or die for, pray to God. She's so fine. She's so fine. She's really sweet, the finest girl you ever want to meet. Well, she really fills the clothes from her head to toe. I want the world to know. I love her, love her, so she's alright. She's alright. She's alright. She loves me about the day at night. Tree. I love her, need her. She means so much to me. She's all right. She's got what it takes. She's got what it takes. And with me, she really rates. Well, oh now she's my cutie, my tutti frutti, my heart, my love, my bathing beauty. She's all right. She's got just what it takes. She's got what it takes. And with me, she really rates.
Jackie Wilson and Riet Petit. Now that this show is part of the internet generation, and now I don't go on Facebook, but there is a Danny Finkelman fan club that is a, sort of an absurdist fan club that was started by Alice Hinther, who is a wonderful a woman, a great gal, lots of fun, and she's got the website going, and it's called Danny Finkelman Fan Club, and it's on Facebook. So if you want to go to Facebook, I don't know how to do these things. I know I do have a Facebook account, but quite frankly, even email now, the way they send emails, when I look on the screen, it's all Greek to me. It's getting worse. Email was easier for me 4 years ago than it is today to figure out what's going on. But anyway, so Alice has this, and Alice also is a well-versed traveler, and she does a lot of traveling, and she wanted to get rid of some junk. So she went to one of these storage facilities, and she said, you know, she wrote me, she said, it's expensive. Can be $200, I don't know, for a 15 by 15. I don't know how much space. I've never been to one and needed one. But she said, and it's temperature controlled, so she doesn't see why people just don't stay there. You know, you got your temperature control, and you can rent a nice spot for a couple of $100 a month, which I think if you're, you know, if you want to be alone, if you want to be like Greta Garbo and you want to be alone, the storage facility is okay. But I mentioned to her, the problem is that they've had problems with like that in these storage facilities. People actually do move in, and it's against the law. It is against the law to do this, but it's not a bad idea. I mean, what you could do is basically tweak the concept a bit. Tweak the concept. You know what I mean? With washrooms and this and that and the other thing, living space, sprinklers, and you could have just little bits of living space like that. And you'd have to qualify for it, and it might be difficult, but it might be a business. It's certainly not something that another one of that's not my business idea. That's Alice's business idea. But again, if you want, you can actually go to the our website, thedannyfinkelmanshow.com, and you can click at the top there. There's the Danny Finkelman Fan Club, or just go to Danny Finkelman, Finkleman, L-E-M-A-N, Fan Club, and see what's up there. All right. Now here from one of the shows at the Montreal Bistro. This is the a cappella tune that we were there three times, and this was the one a cappella tune they did, all the singers together with Joel Feeney on lead. Doug Riley put it together. Here's Rock and Roll Lullaby.
Rock and roll lullaby. she'd sing, sha-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, it'll be all right. Sha-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, better hold on tight. Sing it to me, mama.
Joel Feeney, accompanied by all the other singers that Doug Riley had at one of our sessions at the Montreal Bistro. I think that was done in about 2001. I think that's close enough. Yeah, I think about 2001. In an office tower, a 60-story office tower downtown, just a while back, when we were going to go off daylight saving, there's this big, beautiful poster in a, they have some of these poster holders in these big office towers in the foyer. And guess what it had on the poster? Just a reminder that it was a beautiful poster. It wasn't hand-painted or anything like that. You knew there were lots of copies of this around the city. Just a reminder. Daylight saving time is off. We go back to standard time this weekend. It had a picture of a sun and a moon and everything. It's like, are there any adults left? If you don't know that it's going to be daylight saving time, do you really have to be reminded in the office tower? Isn't there enough kind of a media exposure? You just kind of can't get away from the fact that it's changing, and you have friends that you talk to, and you know that it's happening. Have you ever, I don't know of anyone who's ever missed the notion. And remember, it happens on a Sunday, so you don't have to get to work, but just remember to set the clocks back. You fall back in the fall, and you spring forward in the spring. That's what I learned in, I think, grade one or grade two. But the date, you never know with that. But there's enough environmental press on one that you don't have to be reminded with big posters in office towers. Here are the Chiffons now, and number one from February of 1963, He's So Fine.
Matter of
He's so fine, the chiffons. One thing I can't believe, I was out at Costco, the warehouse, and you have no idea how many people buy bottled water by the case, like 24 bottles of bottled water on sale. I wanted to say to somebody, hey, buddy, the guy was behind me with two of these cases. I say, buddy, you want to save money? You ever hear of the tap? Have you got a kitchen? There's a tap in there. And do what I do. I have one small bottle, plastic bottle, and if I want taking the dog out for a walk in the summer, I put it in my pocket filled with water, and if I drink some of it, I fill it again. You don't have to buy 48 bottles of this at a time and spend $12 for water. You have a tap, and that's my idea of a really money-saving device, tap water. All right. Here are the Rascals, and number one from April of 1967, Groovin'. The Rascals and Groovin' from 1967. Now time for a tune by Johnny Mercer. He sings it and he wrote the lyrics. The melody was written by Frank Lesser, who wrote the music to Guys and Dolls and How to Succeed in Business. But here's Johnny with Baby, It's Cold Outside.
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you'd drop in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like
ice. My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
And father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
roar. So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't
hurry. Well, maybe just a half a drink
more. Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might think.
Maybe it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew
your
how.
Your eyes are like starlight
to
now.
To break the spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell.
I ought to say no, no,
mind
no,
mind if
sir.
I'm moving
At
closer.
Least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out.
Baby, but it's cold outside. I simply must
but
go.
But baby, it's cold outside.
The answer
but
is no.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This welcome
how
is big.
How lucky that you dropped
so
in.
So nice and warm.
Look out the window at that storm.
My sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the
waves
door.
Waves upon a tropical shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is
ooh,
vicious.
Ooh, your lips are delicious.
Well, maybe just a cigarette more.
Never such a blizzard before.
I've got to get
but
home.
But baby, you freeze out there.
Say, lend me a
it's
coat.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been
I
grand.
I thrill when you touch my
but
hand.
But don't you see?
How can you do this thing to
there's
me?
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
Think of my lifelong
at
sorrow.
At least there will be plenty in
if you caught pneumonia and
I
died,
really can't stay.
Get over that old doubt. Ooh,
ah,
baby,
but
it's cold.
Johnny Mercer and Baby It's Cold Outside. He was accompanied on that vocal by Margaret Whiting. I should have introduced her before I played the tune. All right, folks, here's your question before we hear from Maurice Williams and the Zodiacs. What percentage of people who show up at emergency wards are sent home because there's either nothing wrong with them or nothing that the doctors can do about them? They're basically false alarms or something that they can't help them with. What percentage, and it's kind of a national figure, goes all across the country. What percentage show up and are basically politely over time sent home? Here, Maurice Williams and the Zodiacs, and number one from October of 1960, Stay.
Stay! Just a little bit longer. Please, 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 tell them who you're going to. Now, how you daddy don't mind, and your mommy don't mind. If we have another dance, yeah, just the one more.
Maurice Williams, the Zodiacs, and Stay. Now the answer to the question, what percentage of people are sent home from emergency wards with nothing wrong with them? 85%. Kind of something, isn't it? Anyway, last dance, slow dance on the show. So you know what that means, folks. Kick back the rug. Adjust the dimmer switch, assume the vertical position, because we have Shep and the Limelights and number two from March of 1961. Here they are with Daddy's Home.
You're my love, you're my angel, you're the girl of my dream. I'd like to thank you for waiting. patiently. Daddy's home. Daddy's home. Do you stay?
Shep and the Limelights and Daddy's Home. That does it for this edition of Finkelman's... Oh, not... Hey, it isn't the old show. That does it for this edition of the Danny Finkelman Show. Till next Saturday when we have a new show for you. Good listening. And that's it, everybody.